In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Larry and Kim, for reading that text for us today. Welcome everyone in person on this cold Sunday. And welcome those online. I pray that you are safe and warm. But a special welcome to our guest today. We're so glad you decided to worship with us. I'm Keith, and it's my honor to share with you today as we continue the series, Heaven Came Near, where glory met the humble. Last week, Philip looked at the story of the Magi and asked the question, "What are you seeking?" Today, we're going to look at the story of Mary and Joseph and ask, "What will you surrender?" Surrender means to give up, to yield power and control to another influence. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "It's for God at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." God is at work in you to will, to move your will to his will as you surrender to him. Today we're going to look at the story of Mary and Joseph and the work that God did in their lives. You can take your Bible or Bible app and turn to chapter 1 in Luke, where Mary gives up her will to God. Luke is the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. But many times we surrender our will by giving in instead of giving up. And there is a difference between giving up ice cream and giving in to ice cream. We surrender our will by giving in to our emotions. We give in to our desires, our culture, our politics, religion, sports, peer pressure, and whatever is on social media. Let me give you an example. When I was in middle school, one day at lunch, Sitting across the table from me was a boy named Tony, and he was bigger than I was. But we got into an argument, and I got really angry, and I gave in to my emotions. So I reached across the table, and I grabbed his lunch tray, and I just flipped it up into his lap, and all his lunch went down his shirt and into his lap. And it was spaghetti day, and that made it even better. Later that afternoon, I heard that there was going to be a big fight after school. And then I learned that that fight was going to be between Tony and me. So at the end of the school day, a large group of students gathered outside and they formed a big circle. Tony is standing in the middle, and now I need to decide what I'm going to do. Am I going to run away? Am I going to apologize? Am I going to try to talk myself out of it? But then the crowd, the students started chanting and cheering, fight, fight, fight. And so I gave in to the peer pressure. And I stepped into that circle, and there was some pushing and some shoving, some punches thrown, some grabbing and wrestling on the ground until the teachers came and broke it up. I think we called it a draw. But I'll share you my picture from middle school. Here it is. I know, I had more hair. When we give in, we allow other influences to control our will, like our emotions. But when we give up these influences, we are surrendering our will to God so he can accomplish his work through us. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God is at work redeeming humanity to himself. But he does that through people who surrender their heart completely to God. He does not need us to do anything for him, but God wants to work through us to do something that only God can. And that is the story of Mary and Joseph, but that's also our story. So let's begin. I'd like to share with you the three steps to surrender your will to God. So if you're at Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 26, and it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." The sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, even though she was unable to have children and she was advanced in age, God takes the initiative to come and speak to Mary. This was not Mary's idea. In the Bible, God speaks through angels, through visions, through dreams, through prophets, through scripture, through circumstances, through creation, through a still small voice, and even through a burning bush. It's not important how God speaks to us. What's important is God speaks to us. And God still speaks to us today through the Spirit of God, through his word, through people, through circumstances, and through a still small voice in our heart and in our mind. God still speaks to us today. And the first step to surrender to God is having an awareness of God's voice. In the next verse it says, "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this is." God says, "Mary, you are the recipient of God's grace." But that confused her. She did not understand it, but it says she kept pondering. That kept pondering means she was fixated on Gabriel. She wanted to understand what God was saying. Had all of her attention, all of her focus was on the message. She wanted to hear the word from God. But sometimes I'm too busy. I get up and I have my plans, my agenda, my schedule, my to-do list, and I miss God's voice. We need to be spiritually aware to hear God's voice. When my daughters were younger, sometimes they would have a disagreement with their mother. And usually there would be shouting, crying, stomping of feet, slamming doors, and sometimes by my daughters. And then Janet would tell me, she would send them to their room, and then Janet would tell me that I needed to have a talk with my daughter. And I would tell Janet that I would talk to them, but I would talk to them later, that I would wait. And the reason that I would wait is because they weren't ready to listen. If anything I said to them, it would not matter. You have to be ready to hear. Spiritual awareness is being ready and available to hear God's voice. Why should God invite us to do anything with Him if we're too busy to listen? God knows all the things on your agenda. He knows your schedule. The question is, are you willing to surrender your plan, your agenda, your schedule, and adjust your life to God? You can still make plans. I still have a to-do list, the things I need to do, but I get up each day and talk to God about what's on my list. I said, God, I'm surrendering all these things to you. I'm asking you that you would direct my path, that you would show me where you are working, and that I would be aware of your spirit to lead me and adjust my life to you. You need to have this awareness of God, but it begins by surrendering these things to him. And the angel said to Mary in the next verse, it says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." This was not Mary's plan. She was preparing for a bridal shower, not a baby shower. Mary will be with child during her pregnancy. She'll be with child during her engagement period and on her wedding day. That's probably not her dream wedding. She may be outcast from her family and from her community. She may be the subject of much gossip in the small town of Nazareth. But would she adjust her life to God's plan? And the angel tells her to name him Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. And then the angel tells Mary five things about Jesus. He says that he will be great. He will call the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary would recognize this as being from a promise of the Messiah. See, God's plan is always greater than our plan. But the second step you need to do to surrender is you have to believe in God's plan. Look at Mary's response in the next verse. She says, "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?'" Her response stands in contrast to 6 months earlier when Gabriel visited Zacharias and told him that his wife Elizabeth, even though she was unable to have children and she was advanced in her age, that she would have a child, that she would have a son, and they would call him John the Baptist. And Zacharias' response was, "How can I know?" Because he did not believe. And as a result, he was unable to speak for 9 months. Mary's response is, "I believe, but I just don't understand how you can do it." And that is the definition of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because those that come to him must believe that he is, and he rewards those that seek him. I believe and I trust God, even though I don't understand how God's going to do it. You have to believe. I shared with you before, it was probably about 30 years ago, when I was a little less busy, and I started praying to God, saying, "God, I will do whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. If you want me just to be still, and know you, that is okay. I don't need to do something for you. And it was during that season that I got a call from a man who told me that he had started a class, Experiencing God class, at the state penitentiary. And he was going to have surgery and he wouldn't be able to finish it. And he asked me if I would fill in for him for 2 months. And my first thought was, there's no way. How can an introverted engineer who designed semiconductors relate to anyone in their circumstances? And that's when God said to me, it's not about you. It's about what God can do. And I've had the joy to fill in for him and to continue to teach many more classes of Experiencing God and other programs and seeing men's lives changed and transformed, things that only God can do. Do you believe that what God wants to do through you is greater than anything you could do for God? Are you willing to surrender your dreams, your reputation, your comfort zone? Because that's what Mary and Joseph did. And then look at what the angel says to Mary in the next verse. It says, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. That word overshadow in the Greek is episkiazo. Almost sounds Italian, I think. But it's not. It means epi from above, that the power from above will surround you. It's the same word that's used at Jesus' transfiguration when the disciples were surrounded in a cloud. That the power of God will enable us, empower us to do what only God can do. We all know that verse, for him who is able to do exceedingly more than we can even ask or imagine. And what's the rest of that verse? According to the power that works in us. The same word used here. The power that took Jesus into humanity is the same power that works inside of you. God's at work in us. Do you believe? And then the angel said to her in the next verse, it says, and behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do the impossible? Do you believe he can do it through you? You must believe that God can do the impossible, to heal, to save, to transform people's lives, your friends, your family, your neighbors, and people in your workplace. That you have to believe. And then the third step is you have to commit. You have to surrender your will to God. And then Mary's response to this is, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. It says, God, I give up everything. I surrender all. My past, my future, my reputation, it does not matter. I put everything into your hands. The three steps, A, B, C, being aware of God's presence and listening to his voice. Believe that it is God working through you to accomplish his work, because it's not about you. And then finally is to commit, to surrender all of your will to God. And then God tells Mary that Elizabeth, her cousin, is having a baby. God tells her this to affirm his message and to build up Mary's faith and confidence in God. And so what does she do? She makes that three-day, 75-mile journey to see her cousin. About 12 years ago, Janet and I, we felt that God was leading us to come to Northeast. We didn't know anybody here. We came on Sunday. We came early enough that we could go to a Bible study class and then stay for worship. And we did that for a month or so. And then somebody asked us to join their life group, which we were glad to do. And then we started meeting with that life group. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, the person leading that group said, that they felt like God was leading that group to study experiencing God together. But he said he had never done it, and he wanted to know if there was anybody knew anyone who had done that class before. Of course, I've done it many times. And that's when Janet elbows me, but God affirms in my heart that we're in the right place. As you give your life to God and you follow him, he will affirm that you are in the right place. And I believe that's why God has you here, because God is going to do a great work through your life and through Northeast to impact the kingdom, things that we cannot do. So now I'd like to shift and share with you the characteristics of someone who surrenders completely to God. If you jump down to verse 46, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and I want you to look in on her conversation, what she tells Elizabeth. And it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name.'" A person who surrenders to God is humble. They know that it's not about them, because it's God that's doing the work. They are lifting God up and not themselves. And then in the next verse, it says, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. That's a promise to our generation, that God's mercy is on our generation as we surrender to him. I normally read out of the New American Standard, and in that translation, the translators will capitalize in the New Testament whenever it's quoting the Old Testament. So in my translation, this verse would be in all caps, which tells me Mary is quoting an Old Testament. And in this case, she's quoting Psalms 103. So what does that tell you? It tells you that Mary knows God's word. A person who surrenders to God knows God's word. They make an effort to read it, to study it, and to put God's word in their heart. And then in verse 51, it says, "And he has done mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud of the thoughts of their heart. And he has brought down the rulers from their thrones, and he has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed." Well, here it is in all caps. Here she's quoting Psalms 107. But notice what it says. It says, "He has, he has, he has." She keeps praising God for what he has done. A person who surrenders to God gives God the glory and the praise, because it's about God. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. Mary has a character with humility that leads to praise while she holds God's word into her heart. But I don't want to leave Joseph out of the story. So if you got your Bible, you can flip back to Matthew. That would be two earlier books, the first book in the New Testament. Mary and Joseph are engaged, or some people may say they were betrothed. I can't say that word. That there is a binding agreement in their culture, just like a marriage. It is a legal agreement. And so Mary tells Joseph that she is expecting a baby. We don't have this conversation, but can you imagine what that was like for her? Was it fearful, awkward, exciting, all at the same time? But Joseph doesn't believe her story. And when you pick it up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed," almost said it right, "to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Mary tells Joseph that she is expecting a divine birth from God. But he is hearing, "My fiance is expecting a baby, and I'm not the father." So Joseph, being a righteous man, he plans. He gives in to the culture and quietly plans to get a divorce because this is what the culture would do. But a person who surrenders to God thinks before they act. If you look at the next verse, verse 20, it says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who had been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Joseph thinks about it. He meditates on it. He may even ask God, "Can you tell me what to do? Or can you show me what to do?" And then God speaks to him through a dream and confirms Mary's story, that God can do the impossible. A person who surrenders to God does not act impulsively, but is thoughtful, prayerful, deliberate, guided by the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Same thing that Gabriel told Mary, that Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. But then for Joseph, he adds this text: "He will save his people from their sins." That's not what he told Mary. So I have to ask, why? This was a deliberate message just for Joseph. And I believe it's because Joseph probably knew Jeremiah's promise of a new covenant, that the Lord declares, "I will forgive their iniquity and their sins. I will remember no more." And then you go on to the next verse. "Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." This is the author's text. This is what Matthew wrote. So Matthew inserts this right after that reference to the new covenant, and he's referring to Isaiah. I believe Matthew does this because he's implying that Joseph probably knew this promise from God. Because Joseph, as a righteous man, probably knew the word of God in his mind. And then finally, Joseph obeys. In verse 24, he says, "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus." Joseph awakes and he obeys. Understand what he's doing. He's connecting his conversation with Mary to God's voice in his dream to the word of God. And then when he does that, he knows how to obey. And that's what we do. We connect our circumstances to God's voice, to God's word, and then we obey. Joseph's character is one of thoughtfulness and obedience while holding God's word in his mind. Mary and Joseph surrendered their plans, their agenda, their pride, their will to God. But the story of surrender would not be complete if we didn't talk about Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Have this attitude in you, which is also in Jesus Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man." Jesus surrendered himself. He gave up his position in glory. God is love. And by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's what John writes in 1 John. A person who surrenders to God would be filled with God's love for people. "And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on the cross." Jesus surrendered himself. He gave up his authority to the Romans. And they tried him, they beat him, they nailed him to a cross. But who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. A person who surrenders to God is filled with God's joy, even in difficulty. And for this reason, also, God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those that are in heaven, those on the earth, and those that are under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A person who surrenders to God, they are humble and they praise God. They are thoughtful and obedient. They are filled with God's love and God's joy as they hold God's word in their heart and in their mind. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Will you surrender to him? Judson Van Deventer was an art teacher and a musician at the Pennsylvania Public School. I think there's his picture. He said while he was teaching, he said God spoke to him and was calling him into full-time ministry. But he was reluctant to surrender. For 5 years, he struggled with that, on whether he should continue in his art career or surrender to God. But then he said one day he decided he'll trust God. And he surrendered everything to him. And he said in that moment, God put a song into his heart. And he wrote the words to that great song, which was published in 1896. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Our culture has so many things demanding our attention, from work to after school programs to sports to church and endless notification on our devices. But I want you to know that God loves you. He sent his only Son, born in this world, to die on a cross so you can live with him. God is not against you. God is for you. God's plan is much better than anything you can imagine. But will you surrender to him? We're going to enter a time of response. And we're trying to be more intentional to give you a moment where you can think about God's word. And ask yourself, what does God want me to do? Is there something you need to surrender? So take a moment and meditate and talk to God. Ask him, what will you surrender? Do you need to surrender your agenda, your schedule, your plans? Do you need to surrender your pride, your reputation, and your will? You need to surrender your family, your marriage, your children, your relationships. Can you trust God? Do you need to surrender your work, your school, your finances? Do you need to surrender your past? For you're forgiven. He remembers your sins no more. Do you need to surrender your future, your dreams, your goals? God is calling us today to do great things through us, not by us. Will you surrender all? Father, I thank you for this moment where we can come before you with an open heart. Father, we just want to give everything to you. All our burdens, all our problems, all our plans, Father, we lay them down before you. Father, fill us with your mercy and grace. May you change us and transform us. May you do mighty works through us for your glory. And may Jesus be exalted. It's in his name we pray. Amen.